This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll get to this Mitch McConnell stepping down stuff. Another oddity that's kind of proving a point I've been making that happened in the primary yesterday. Emails, they're arresting our reporters, all that. So much more is coming up still on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. And look, there are few times for people like you and people like me to celebrate anymore. I mean, when I'm talking about national political wins, we have, contrary to what you see on the news, many, many, many local wins. We have been running for school boards and state houses and things like that, and we've been winning, and that's been going well. But nationally, especially over the last few years, how many times have you celebrated or had a reason to celebrate something? Hasn't been many, has it? It's just that, look, it's a downtime in politics. It's the way it goes, right? And so it gives me no pleasure to pour a little bit of cold water all over the celebration today from the right, from many on the right, about Mitch McConnell. Now, let's just go over the news in case you just woke up and you missed it. Mitch McConnell stepped up and announced that he will be, not that he is, that he will be stepping down as the minority leader of the GOP Senate. Of course, he gave a bunch of rambling, mumbling mess that didn't really say anything.
Believe me, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them. So as I've been thinking about when I would deliver some news to the Senate, I always imagined a moment when I had total clarity and peace about the sunset of my work. A moment when I'm certain I have helped preserve the ideals I so strongly believed. That day arrived today.
Yeah, okay, all that's a bunch of crap. Here's what actually happened today, or what's been happening. Mitch McConnell, look, there's, you and I, we're used to betrayal from GOP leadership. That's kind of the MO of GOP leadership, whether it be in the Senate or the House, the Speaker or Majority Leader. We're used to being sold out by our leaders. Democrats aren't used to this. Republicans are used to this. This has been the way it's always been. And within the caucus, we'll just make this about the Senate, but the same thing applies to the House, but making it about the Senate, within the GOP caucus, with the elected GOP senators, there's always a certain amount of betrayal they will take from their leader. And that there are a couple of different reasons for that. One, remember, he has raised gobs and gobs of money and disseminates that money to these various senators for their Senate races. So as they sit there luxuriating on another 6 years in the United States Senate, you've got a staff of 100 people, you fly private jets everywhere, you look upon your life and you say, wow, Mitch McConnell really helped, so I'll kind of let his latest misdeed go. But you can only let so much go. That amnesty deal that he organized with Senator Naked Kendall Lankford, from what I understand from multiple sources I have, that was the final straw for Mitch McConnell's power in D.C. Mitch McConnell has given out a lot of money, so they let a lot go. But what he kept doing, especially over the last year or two, he kept ignoring the majority of the GOP caucus in the Senate. He'd find the same standard 10 to 15 losers, you know, the senators from our red estates, the John Cornyns, the John Thunes, the James Lankfords, and he would get a minority of GOP senators, completely betray the GOP base, knife all the Republicans in the back, join with the senators, and pass Democrat-only priorities. This wasn't a one-off. Mitch McConnell, especially over the last couple years, did this repeatedly. Remember the omnibus bill? Everyone else has forgotten because we all forget about it, but I hang on to grudges because I'm a Kelly and I'm Irish, and so I just don't let things go. The GOP won back the House at the midterms. The Democrats had everything. We won back the House. A slim majority, but we won back the House. Remember, elections are in November, but you don't actually get sworn in until January. So in between that time frame, when you get elected and when you get sworn in, you're not actually in office yet. That Congress in that special little window is known as a lame duck Congress. And traditionally, you don't really pass anything significant in a lame duck Congress. It's seen as bad form because you were just voted out or whatever. Hey, we're not really the ones in power. We're just kind of sitting here until the new Congress takes over. But Mitch McConnell got worried the next GOP Congress might attempt to defund anything. And he did the same thing. Gathered a few Republicans to work with Democrats and passed a $1.2 trillion bill to make sure the GOP couldn't get anything done. The GOP caucus was aghast at what he did. And then that brings us to the amnesty deal. If there was no foreign money involved in that deal at all, that's one of the most treasonous bills I've ever seen attempted in the Senate. And this is why. It wasn't as if it simply looked the other way. It was going to guarantee, it was going to write into law that you can illegally enter the country up to a certain number. It was writing it into the law. 1 million, 2 million, pick your number. Hey, we have to get to 5,000 a day before we even bother starting enforcing anything. And Mitch McConnell was the one behind it all. He made poor James T. Lankford be the face of it all because he knew that low-T idiot loser would run out there and do something stupid like he always does. But it was Mitch McConnell behind the scenes. Mitch McConnell behind the scenes just tried to guarantee illegal immigration into the United States of America. That, for much of the GOP Senate, was the last straw. Doesn't matter how much money he's handed out to them or money he's handed out to them, for much of the GOP Senate, the good ones, and there aren't many, but the good ones, they said, okay, that's enough. And all kinds of sources are out there today saying there was getting ready to be a coup, as in Mitch McConnell was going to be forced to step down from leadership. Why? Well, here's a little Mitch McConnell highlight reel.
The Ukrainian people are courageous and innocent, and they deserve our help. President Zelensky is an inspiring leader, but the most basic reasons for continuing to help Ukraine degrade and defeat the Russian invaders are cold, hard, practical American interests.
Well, I'm going to try to help explain to the American people that defeating the Russians in Ukraine is the single most important event going on in the world right now.
I think we all agree the most important thing going on in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. I had a chance to call the president last week and request that the Ukraine package move by itself and quickly.
Providing assistance for the Ukrainians to defeat the Russians, that's the number one priority for the United States right now. According to most Republicans, that's sort of how we see the challenge.
Yeah, lost, out of touch, completely blind to the base. And I do not have confirmation on this. I'm hearing, I don't want to say rumors, because what I'm hearing, it's more than rumors. I tend to believe what I'm hearing, but I am hearing this as well. You know how I say all of our rulers have the same three things in common: no love of country, no connection to the real world, and they see themselves as kings and queens? Let's focus on number two: no connection to the real world. I am hearing, as unbelievable as this is, that Team McConnell legitimately had no idea that amnesty would be so poorly received by the GOP base at this moment. You want to talk about people who've spent way too much time in Washington, D.C.? My word. Guys, get out and talk to people once in a while. You won't find your leadership position removed. Now, all that's the good news. There is some bad news that comes with it, and we're going to talk about that. And before we discuss the bad news, we're going to talk about something else that's wonderful. How you can feel. We have accepted certain things about ourselves as we get older, that we're just, hey, we're always going to be tired at 3 p.m. I'm going to need a nap. I'm going to need that cup of coffee in the afternoon. We're not maintaining our levels. We're not focusing on getting the things in our body we need in our body. How do you get those things though? What do you do? I'm not going to ask you to eat Brussels sprouts for every meal. Take a stack from Chalk. Whether you're a man or a woman, men obviously take the male vitality stack. There's a female vitality stack for the ladies. But you don't have to wait for blood work to know what I'm talking about. You will feel it. You'll feel it probably sooner than 90 days. I felt mine after about a month. But after 90 days, you will know, wow, I am so much healthier than I was before. Take advantage. It's the end of February, meaning the February deal disappears in like 5 minutes. CHOQ.com. Huge discounts for the lifetime of your subscription. But get a hold of them. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Go now.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're talking a little bit more about Mitch McConnell, and he has to do, he tried to give that upstanding, I've decided that the time is now to step down.
Believe me, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them. So as I've been thinking about when I would deliver some news to the Senate, I always imagined a moment when I had total clarity and peace about the sunset of my work. A moment when I'm...
Yeah, whatever. So the good news is Mitch McConnell's stepping down. There's some bad news we have to talk about here and might hurt a little bit, but first let's focus on the timing. Is Mitch McConnell stepping down today? Tomorrow? Next week? No. Mitch McConnell announced that he's stepping down in November, which is weird. Mitch McConnell is going to stay the minority leader of the United States Senate right up until the election. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump despise each other with the fire of 1,000 suns. They hate each other's guts. Mitch McConnell bent over backwards to help the communists impeach Trump and take him down. Trump, of course, knows all this. Trump hates him to the point he's lobbing nicknames out at Mitch McConnell's wife. Elaine Chao's her name. He's calling her Coco. And it's really, really personal and really bad between those two gentlemen. Does Mitch McConnell seem like the type of guy who would use the last 6 months of his power to destroy the man he hates more than anyone else? Yeah, he does. I'm very concerned about what Mitch McConnell might pull when it comes to the 2024 presidential election, which begs the question, of course, but Jesse, what might he pull? I don't know. Mitch McConnell's been a power operator in D.C. for three decades. He's a human being who understands how to move the chess pieces around the board. That's one bad bit of news. The next bad bit of news is this doozy. John Thune, of course, we're stuck with him from one of our reddest states because he's handsome and he's on TV all the time. So he wins his primary every single time. He's also been sucking up to Mitch McConnell for years. He's also a fundraising juggernaut who's been buying favors within the GOP caucus for years. Him and that useless barnacle John Cornyn from Texas have been wanting to be the next GOP leader in the Senate for a very, very, very long time. From my sources, I don't think Cornyn is going to go for it. Cornyn actually might hang up his fake spurs before his next election. But John Thune, we're never getting that guy out of the Senate. He's like an Alabama tick. He'll be there forever. You can't ever dig him out of there, ever. And I'm very, very, very worried. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. That's going to be your next minority leader. And what will we have gained from that? Nothing. Yet another low-T GOPer who was asked, remember when he was asked about banning AR-15s? And the best argument he could come up with was, well, I mean, I don't know. We use them for prairie dogs.
In my state, they use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints. And so I think that there are legitimate reasons why people would want to have them. And I think the challenge you have already is that there are literally millions of them.
Hey, Senator, the communists want to take away your guns. What are your thoughts on that? Well, I mean, I don't know anything about the Second Amendment or fighting against despotism or liberty, but there's a lot of prairie dogs, guys. I just think that we should worry about the prairie dog problem. Does that convince you guys? Exactly. You know what? He's made for GOP leadership. He was built for it. Say nothing, defend nothing, never stand up for you, never stand up for me, never stand up for our rights, cut a deal with Democrats every chance you get, and act mortified at the sight of your own shadow whenever some useless commie reporter comes up and tries to gun grab. It's gonna be John freaking Thune. I know it is. And I will say this to put a shining light at the end of this whole thing. There is a real upstart rebellion going on in the Senate. There is a push for Rick Scott. Now, I don't love Rick Scott, but I don't despise Rick Scott. He's not Mitt Romney, all right? He's not Mitch McConnell. He's not John Thune. He's significantly better than those guys. And for a U.S. senator, he's probably, I hate to say it, about the best we can hope for. And he wants to be in leadership. Oh, Chris said he's 71. Oh, Chris, haven't you heard? You have to be 9,000 years old to run for office now. God forbid we get a 40 or 50-year-old run for higher office. Anyway, so look, cross your fingers for Rick Scott. Also, don't email me and say, well, what about this guy or this guy? Because none of the good guys you'll email me about want to be in the Senate leadership. And that's a whole other story that drives me crazy, but none of those guys want it. All right, emails, like I promised. Jesse, I can't believe you started hawking Byrna. I love them. I have an SD pistol and a bunch of accessories. I even bought stock in their company, but idiotically sold all my shares a month before they shot up and nearly doubled. I'm going to have to buy my shares back now that they're a sponsor and they'll double again. Byrna is so sick. It's BYRNA. This company has actually cost me a fortune because it's so much more than just the Byrna launcher. Shoots the pepper balls, tear gas balls, kinetic rounds. They have little subs there. They have the wee little air cartridges, practice cartridges that are full of baby powder. If my kids beg me to go out back and have another Byrna competition, I'm going to lose my mind. Legal in all 50 states. A non-lethal option for both gun carriers and non-gun carriers, but it will save your life. No background check needed. They'll mail it to your front door. Byrna.com/Jesse. BYRNA.com/Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Sonny and Cher. Chris, I don't know that they had another song that I could name, but I could name that song. That reminds me, have you ever been skiing? Skiing is, Michael, have you ever done skiing? Skiing's fun. Skiing is a lot of fun. I'm dangerous. Skiing, I can move, and I like to move quickly. I can't stop or turn quite as well. So if you ever happen to be on a mountain and you see me skiing down behind you, and keep in mind it's been, 25 years since I've skied, but if you happen to see me coming down the mountain, you might want to give me a wide berth, son, because I'm not stopping anytime soon. What, Chris? No, I don't exactly dart between the trees. If there are trees, I probably won't come down off the mountain at all. It really needs to be wide open for me, which obviously Sonny and Cher can relate to. Anyway, Joe Biden had this to say.
Oh, I hope by the beginning of the weekend. I mean, the end of the weekend. At least my national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're close. It's not done yet. And my hope is by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire.
By next Monday, my national security advisor tells me my hopes we're going to have a ceasefire. And then John Kirby had to go out to the podium today and change Joe Biden's diaper again.
Netanyahu was quite surprised by the president's comments about his expectations that there would be a ceasefire by Monday. So why did he say Monday?
I can't speak for the surprise that foreign leaders have or don't have with regard to things that we're saying. The president talked to y'all after staying completely up to speed, and he has been kept up to speed on how these negotiations are going, and he shared with you some context, and he certainly shared with you his optimism that we can get there in hopefully short order.
Have you ever heard somebody work so hard trying not to insult their boss than John Kirby just said, hey, we're all sharing in his optimism. Look, he's an optimistic guy. I can't help it. President Sunshine just sees the world that way. All right, let's get to a bunch of emails. Jesse, what percentage of Americans do you think have a clue what the left is intentionally doing to this country? Sadly, I think less than 10%. I'd say that's probably about right. About 10%. About 10% of the country really understands how bad it is. Really understands what we're dealing with. Look, a lot of this is, we've talked endlessly about the world of make-believe that the system intentionally creates for normal Americans. If you're, forget about a Democrat or something like that. If you're a normal American, maybe you even vote Republican, and you get up in the morning, eat breakfast. While you're eating breakfast, what do you do? Turn on maybe the local news, which is fine. Local news actually can be really good. Or maybe you'll turn on even Fox News. Maybe that'll be on in the background. Or CNN. You talk to your kids. You take them to school. Well, you go to work all day. You don't really talk politics. You work and doing other stuff. Go home, have dinner with the family that night. Maybe you'll pick up a newspaper or these days it's more common to simply look at that stuff on your phone. And what do you do? Where do you look on the phone? Let's go to NBC News or MSN or something along those lines. And if that's the extent, that's a very normal existence, right? If you talk to a non-political person, that's how a normal non-political person really finds out about what's going on in the world. Hey, I'll see a couple headlines. You know, just tell me. Just one headline of the day, one or two. Oh, okay. You live in a world of make-believe and you have no idea. The normal American, the normal American has no idea that this mentality, this is every single elected Democrat in the United States of
America.
In
the main, I caution against conflating immigration and crime. The data demonstrates that the two are not connected. Because the impact of federal immigration policy on localities has been under such consistent discussion in recent months, I do want to say a few words about this. It's my 18th year as a local government policymaker, and my work has overlapped with four U.S. presidencies and numerous iterations of Congress. All of them have failed to reach agreement on how to handle immigration.
The normal American doesn't have any idea that the local Democrat doesn't care if innocent women get killed as long as they're killed by the illegal aliens he truly loves. You tell that to your neighbor, Norm, and he'll look at you like you're a conspiracy theorist or a nutball. You look at Norm in the eye and you tell him that this lady's comments about abusing her five-year-old son, they're not an outlier. This is now being taught in all the major medical universities of America. Norm will call you a liar.
How is this affecting you and your family directly?
Well, my daughter will not have access to the healthcare that we know is life-saving, medically necessary, best practice care. Our government has...
There's that word again. You hear that term again? Best practice. Best practice. Best practices. Always the sign of a commie.
Decided that they know better than the American medical establishment, than every major medical association, than parents and physicians who specialize in this care. We have our daughter transitioned socially when she was 5 years old. So the vast majority of transition is social. It is allowing children to be able to show the rest of the world who they are on the inside. And for my daughter, that meant growing her hair out, wearing dresses, and changing her name. So there's really not any kind of...
I'll let her keep going in a second, but I just want to once again remind you, your neighbor Norm, he doesn't want his son to be transitioned behind his back either. He doesn't want that to happen to his daughter. He doesn't want his daughter beat up out there playing women's volleyball. He doesn't want a dude spiking a volleyball 100 miles an hour into his daughter's face either. But what he thinks is that stuff's just kind of an outlier. That stuff's over there. It only happens over there. It's only this radical Democrat. Oh, that must just be the AOCs in the world. That's not my guy. That's not my mayor. That's not my school board. That's not my congressman. Norm has no idea how truly evil the modern Democrat is. He has no idea. I'll let her keep
medical
going.
Intervention until puberty. And, puberty blockers are totally reversible. These are used for a variety of different healthcare reasons, not just for transgender youth. And that's how we know that this is a deeply discriminatory bill, because it's only banning the same healthcare that's accessible to non-transgender children and only targets trans kids.
Mocker and scream at her all you want. The average American would operate much differently. The average American would care a lot more about elections if they understood and accepted that this lady is mainstream Democrat now. Everywhere. It's mainstream. More emails. All right. Hey, Jesse, I'm watching this a movie, This Land Is Mine, with Charles Laughton and Maureen O'Hara. It's about the Nazi takeover of a small town in Europe. Every American citizen should watch it. It shows how they systematically took over this town by controlling the schools and the newspapers and putting corrupt and easily controlled officials in power. It's really quite revealing. Well, I told you about going to that Gestapo museum when we were in Germany over Christmas time. We went into the Gestapo museum, and it was so fascinating to study the timeline, because they have it laid out chronologically. When you walk in, you're going through and you're trying to figure out, okay, you begin in the beginning, year-wise, and you watch how they slowly but surely consume a society. Talk a little bit about that more in a second. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We are going to get to this Biden having trouble with his own primary voters. We're going to get to that here in a few minutes from now, maybe 10 minutes from now. They're arresting one of our own reporters, Steve Baker, now being forced to turn himself in. But first, remember, you can download the entire show. Every minute of the show is podcasted on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, this in reference to this, I was talking yesterday about how many guys who are currently in the military are so sick of it. And they're our best guys, right? They're so sick of all the endless garbage, all the endless DEI, all this crap that they're getting out. And the retention crisis in the military is more dire than the recruiting crisis because we're having this huge brain drain. And I know this because you email me. The guys who are in listen to the show, and we love that. And they email me and tell me. And they know I'll keep it secret. Here's another one. Got it today. Jesse, I wrote the memo resigning my commission during the Army transgender briefing. The first slide of the PowerPoint was a guy in a three-day beard putting on lipstick. This was in the Trump years. I cannot imagine what it is like now. Ashley asked me not to say his name. Remember, I never say your name unless you explicitly tell me I can. That's all it takes. These guys don't want to fight under that. They will not serve under that. Jesse, I know we all think Fritos are the best munchies, chili cheese, barbecue, or original. What's your favorite? I don't know that I would argue that Fritos are the best munchie. I'm pro Frito. Chris is anti Frito. I've argued before, and look, I don't want to get into too heavy of a subject here on the show, that we actually were cheated out of perfection. Cheated out of perfection by Frito, and I'm a little bit bitter about this. And here's what I mean. The chili cheese Frito is almost the perfect chip. Almost the perfect chip. It has the perfect kind of flavor. Chili cheese, they got it in the right proportion. It has the right amount. You're never pulling out a chili cheese Frito out of a chili cheese Frito bag and saying, wow, this one's basically plain. There's no seasoning on it. So whatever they're doing, they're getting that perfect chili cheese seasoning to sit right there on the chip. So it has the perfect amount of seasoning. It has the perfect type of seasoning. It has the perfect crunch. Let's be honest here. I like Pringles. I'm not anti-Pringle, but I enjoy Pringles. I'll certainly eat some Pringles if you put Pringles in front of me. I'm a health nut like that. Pringles are good. They're a little soft, aren't they? They're a little soft. I need a little more bite than that in my chip. Bite. See that pun? And let's look. Let's go the other end of the spectrum. These are big today. You see them all over the place. Some version of kettle chips. And there's a million different, you know, Miss Vicky's and all the kettle and all these other kinds. Shut up, Chris. I know stuff. Anyway, Miss Vicky's. Let's be honest. Kettle chips? And don't be writing me insulting emails acting like I'm a woman. Kettle chips are a little too hard. They are. I don't want to risk injury when I eat a chip. If I bite down wrong, I'm at the ER. What, Chris? No, I don't have dentures. I'm not talking about like I can't handle the crunch. What are you talking about, Chris? I'm just saying it's... Anyway, they're a little hard, right? But Fritos are perfect. Except for this. The chili cheese Frito is almost the perfect chip. But the size. They're too small. They're too small. If I want to, and I often do, if I want to take my chip and dip it in a queso of some kind, I deserve an option to dip my chip in a queso of some kind. If I try to do that with a chili cheese Frito, I have to gather more than one because they're so small. I have to get three or four, and then I'm trying to
get it in the dip without getting the dip all over my fingers. But now, oh, dang, I got some dip on my fingers. Now, do I lick it off? Wait, no, I can't. The wife is looking. She'll be disgusted by me. Should I wipe it on my pants? No, then she'll find that, and then she'll be upset. What do I even do? You can't dip them. And I know what you're already saying right now. I can hear it. You're saying, Jesse, but try the Fritos scoops. Okay. I like Fritos scoops. Unless they've put these out, and I haven't seen it. They don't make Fritos scoops in chili cheese flavored, one. And two, the crunch is not the same. When they adjusted the size, they added a little too much crunch. The chili cheese Frito, all it is to me is a reminder of what might have been. That's all. What, Chris? And look, again, the bigger ones get too hard, and then you wake up the next day and your jaw hurts and it's swollen. And then you sit there and you say to yourself, man, why didn't I take Relief Factor last night? I forgot to take my Relief Factor, and now these Fritos have my jaw so swollen and painful. And you'll know, you'll be saying to yourself in that moment, man, Relief Factor, it's drug-free too. It uses all natural ingredients to fight my body's inflammation, pain in my fingers and my hands and my back and my neck and my muscle and my joints and my jaw from the crunchy Fritos. I think I'll remember to take my Relief Factor every day from now on. I know that's what you'll be saying. That's what I'll be saying. Go get a free, well, not free, sorry. Go get a 3-week quick start kit. 3-week quick start kit, $19.95. That's all they say. 3 weeks. They understand that once you start Relief Factor, once you experience being pain-free, you're never going back. Over 70%. Go and order more. Call the number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. All right? Dear Cheeseburger Maestro, have you noticed men will text like women now? My friends message me and add exclamation points to every sentence, as well as adding emojis and other effeminate characteristics. How would Patton, Washington, Grant, or General Kelly respond to a message with such feminized qualities? Thank you. All right, I'm going to be honest. Shut up, Chris. You don't even know what I'm going to say. I have been broken down over the years by the wife, the kids, and I don't make a habit of it at all. But I hate saying this. I hate admitting this to you. I have texted emojis before. I have. What, Chris? Not a lot. I'm not a 13-year-old girl. It's not a lot. But sometimes, especially if you know, my boys will send me a joke. Lots of times it'll be stupid, or I'll be on the air or something, and I'll want to do the nice thing and pretend like it's funny. Sometimes it's easy to just beep, press that button of the guy laughing, like the little yellow guy on your phone. You just go beep and send a picture of him laughing, and then you've really taken care of everything. I don't have to type anything out. I don't have to write a sentence saying that's funny. So I don't want you to think I'm out there texting hearts and things like that to people. Because I'm not. I'm really not. But I am ashamed. I am ashamed that I've texted emojis before. All right. There. I said it. Now, let's talk about what happened in Michigan yesterday. The primary. It goes right along the lines of something we've been talking about. Also, how they use government for their purposes. We still have an hour. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.